Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he, speaking of Jesus, entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. We're going to preach this morning on the transformation of a church attending demonic. The transformation of a church attending demonic. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us, dear God. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. I would ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help this preacher as I preach. Dear Spirit of God, keep my mind clear and focused, and bring to my mind and my heart the things that Jesus would say if he was preaching this message. And Lord, I do again ask for all of the services that are going on, Lord, across, all through the buildings, Lord, that you'll bless and be with each and every single person that's standing up right now with an open Bible. Bless them, dear God. May the young people listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Throughout the year this year, I mentioned to you that we would take some Sunday mornings. I haven't done this every Sunday morning. But to go along with our theme, "Then Came Jesus, Experiencing Christ's Transforming Power," I wanted to bring some messages in the Bible about people's lives who have been changed and transformed by an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm doing this for a couple of different reasons. First of all, I want to push back on this idea, this unbiblical philosophy of church that basically says, come as you are and leave as you were. You don't have to change anything really to be a Christian. You don't have to be sorry about anything. You don't have to repent of anything. You just come to church and whatever you are, we'll sprinkle a little Jesus on top and now you're a Christian. Folks, listen to me. That's not Bible salvation. And we shouldn't be worried about constructing the church so that worldly and carnal people can feel comfortable there. What we ought to be doing is preaching the word of God so that in such a way that they would feel convicted there. Because without conviction, there is no conversion. And one of the things that I want to mention to you is this, and another reason we're holding up this theme this year, is the idea of Christ's transforming power. I don't want us to give up on anybody. I mean, the person that you know who is the most unlikely candidate to become a Christian, God can save them. Christ can save them. Don't ever mark people off. Don't ever decide that, well, God could never change that person. God could never save that person. One of the benefits of going through these scenarios is seeing that in most of the communities where Jesus went, he brought to himself the most unlikely of people. And I want to just say this before I go on. Christ is still changing lives today. And true salvation ought to come with a transformation. Jesus Christ didn't save you just to leave you the way you are. Now he'll take you the way you are, just as I am without one plea. Hey, we can still sing that during the invitation and that's okay. He'll take you the way you are. But he doesn't intend for you to stay the way you are. I think I heard Brother Fugit years ago. I was listening to a cassette recording on a sermon that he preached. And I was actually doing a remodel on our house. And I would go in there and listen to preaching. I got one of his, I don't know if it's a CD or a cassette. But I listened to him. And he was welcoming a number of families that had recently joined Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church. And he said, you know, we've had an influx of a number of different families come, get saved, join the church, move to the area, join the church. And he said, I want to say two things about our church so that you'll understand where we're going and what this church is about. He said, number one, no matter who you are, where you are in life, we will love you and accept you exactly for who you are and where you are. He said, but number two, you need to know this. Your preacher is determined to see to it that you don't stay where you are. How about that? Amen. And I like that. I like the fact that he said, I will love you and accept you where you are. But folks, the honest truth is all of us ought to be growing, and all of us ought to be willing to be taught and learn and become more Christ-like. Hey, has anybody arrived here? Anybody arrived? I know I haven't. Pew and pulpit. There's more we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's still things God wants to change in our life. Now, folks, let's help each other along. There may be somebody that, you know, they're just outside of salvation. I mean, they just this side of it. And they haven't been saved very long. And there's a lot of things maybe that you can see in them that needs changing. Hey, let's love them and be patient with them, okay? But those of us that have been saved for a longer period of time, hey, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He's not done with Jerry Ross yet. I don't want him to be done yet. And so it doesn't matter where you are along this journey. We're all on a journey to Christ's likeness, and we'll achieve that one day when we awaken his likeness. But until then, we're just all projects around here. And so just love everybody. Be patient. Listen, if you happen to be here, don't look down your nose at somebody that's over here. All right? Good for every single one of us sometimes to remember what God saved us out of. Okay, come on now. Come on now. And so we're not, listen, if you preacher, I'm here, I just got saved, just started coming to church, I look around at all these perfect people. Listen, you come to me, I could tell you stories, all right? And if you knew the real story behind the people sitting in the pew with you right now, you'd put your hand on your wallet and run out the door right there. But hey, you know what? God just saved us. There's no perfect people. I'd tell stories about people in here, but the problem is they know stories about me too, so why don't we just leave that alone, amen, and just be glad that God is working on each and every one of us. And so, but God wants to transform your life. I was just encouraged this week. I'm not going to share the story because it involves somebody here, but I think it was Brother Jeff Reiser sharing me with one of the young men that just recently came to him. He just stopped him in the hallway and said, how you doing? And he just opened up and said, let me tell you some changes that the Lord's made in my life. And began to talk about some real decisions he had made of late. Man, that's encouraging. Come on, preacher. We need to hear this, okay? And so, man, God still is working on all of us, amen. Now, I want to get into the story this morning, the transformation of a church-attending demonic. A church-attending demonic, yes. There's five players in this real-life drama, five individuals or people groups in this story. Let me tell you who they are. There's Jesus. Thank God there's Jesus. As long as Jesus is here, there's hope, amen. There's a man that's in desperate need. There's, number three, an unclean spirit present. Number four, there's those in the church that was present in the church that day. And number five, there were those who were not in church that day but were still affected by what happened in church that day. So we have Jesus, a man in need, an unclean spirit, those in church that day, those who were not in church that day. Let's take them one at a time and preach this message. First of all, let me introduce you to Jesus the preacher. Jesus the preacher. Now, I could say Jesus the a lot of things. I could say Jesus the Son of God. I could say Jesus God the Son. The demon's going to call him before it's all over the Holy One. How about that? We could say that. We could say Jesus the Savior of the world. Jesus the sacrificial lamb. All of these things were true. But I'm also glad, folks, maybe it's because I'm a preacher, but I'm also glad that I can say Jesus was a preacher. He was a preacher. You got Bible for that? Oh, well, of course. Amen. Matthew 4:23. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 11:1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Mark 1:14-15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Sounds like the kind of preaching that called men to repentance. Doesn't sound like a Joel Osteen type of a presentation here. Luke chapter 8, and it came to pass afterwards that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns. Why? That I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. You know, we know the ultimate reason that Jesus came. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But I love the fact that he said that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. A part of Jesus' ministry while he was here on earth was to be a preacher. We see his inaugural sermon. I call it his ordination service in Luke chapter 4 when he comes to his hometown of Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, the Bible says, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Folks, he was a Bible preacher. The book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. I love this. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I love that. We could preach a whole message. Jesus preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, verse 14 and 18. Jesus had a habit of attending the assembly on the Sabbath day. Listen, folks, you can be saved and not go to church, but you can't be a Christian and not go to church. Christian means Christ-like. Jesus, as his custom was, came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus preached a Bible message that day. He was a gospel preacher. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He preached messages of deliverance and healing and hope. And Jesus preached and even mentioned the end times there in verse number 19. You know, I'm not going to go into a lot of this, but boy, I wish we could get preachers back into a classroom and teach them how to preach. And the first person we ought to be pointing them to is Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate example of everything. And you know what? The best way to learn how to be a preacher is follow Jesus around through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. You know what, folks? He preached with graciousness, Mark 4:22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. He preached with authority. The Bible says it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. We need to get back to that type of preaching. Too many preachers that are standing up and apologizing for the Word of God instead of proclaiming the Word of God. He spoke with authority because he was preaching an authoritative book. You know what, folks? Be glad that your preacher stands up and says, thus saith the Lord. He doesn't back up. He doesn't dip his sails. He doesn't compromise on it. Folks, that's Jesus preaching. It's Jesus preaching. He preached with rebuke. Matthew 23, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. And everybody wants to talk about the meek and lowly Jesus. It's because they haven't read Matthew, they haven't read Mark, they haven't read Luke and John, they haven't walked with him, they haven't listened to him. When it was time to bring it and rebuke was needed, he knew how to lower the hammer on that. I love just studying the sermon subject matter of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5, we see some encouragement. And by the way, we all need encouragement from time to time. But he also reminded us in Matthew 5 that we are salt and we are light. By the way, he preached on standards. Yeah, standards in Matthew chapter number 5. A higher standard than the law. He preached on hell in Matthew chapter 5. Secret, private and private devotion in Matthew chapter number 6. Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and 7. Priorities, right biblical priorities in Matthew 6. Faith and trust in Matthew chapter 6. This is just Matthew, by the way. Hypocrisy, railed against hypocrisy in Matthew 7. Preached salvation in Matthew 7. The end times, Matthew 10 and Matthew 24. Judgment in Matthew chapter 11. Preached on the tongue in Matthew 12. Boy, we need more preaching on that. Old preacher said, some of y'all need to come forward and lay your tongue on the altar. Amen. You can kneel right there. Point your head that direction. If there's not room on the altar, we can open the door. We'll roll it on out there. Get it on the altar. Kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13. Service and humility in Matthew 18. Preach on the church in Matthew 18. Forgiveness, Matthew 18. Marriage, Matthew 19. Warned against false prophets, Matthew 23. And he preached on the rapture in Matthew chapter 25. I know we've spent some time on this, but that's okay. This is the most important person that's in this story, and it's Jesus. And you know what, folks? He was a preacher. He was a preacher. Every preacher holds his calling in common with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a statement. We're called to preach spirit-empowered Bible messages, not the words of man's wisdom. The world needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Present it simply and often. Your preaching style should fit your crowd. But if you're preaching to a bunch of Pharisees, then let them have it. Amen. Preach with authority. With authority. When you preach the Bible, you stand on the authority of God. Stick to the tried and true doctrines of faith and go back, and we could just go through that list and preach all year long and cover some good things there. So first of all, I want to introduce to you the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's in the story. He's the one that's going to make a difference. Secondly, I want to introduce to you the man that is in need. The man that is in need. The Bible says that in verse number 23, and there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Now folks, we don't know a lot about him. We don't know his name. The Bible doesn't tell us his name. We don't know if this was the first time he attended or was a regular church attendee. You say, preacher, well, he must be a first-time visitor because he was demon-possessed. Oh, I could take you to several churches and show you some people that have been member for 25, 30, 35 years that I believe is controlled by an unclean spirit. Amen. You can say amen right there. Amen. Yep, yep. You know what? We just watched a little documentary, and I'm not even going to recommend that you watch it, on something that one of the most infamous serial killers in the history of the United States, known as the BTK killer. BTK killer. And you know what? The entire time over the 30-year stretch that he was committing these serial murders, he was the president of his Lutheran church. The president. I don't know why they have presidents, but the president of his Lutheran church. Hello there. Hello there. So we don't know if he was here for the first time, or we don't know if he was here as a regular attendee. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know his background or what activities he was involved in that opened the doors of demonic influence into his life. Listen to what I'm going to say. But somewhere in his past, he did some things that opened some doors to demonic influence into his life. I'm not going to re-preach what I preached just recently on that, but I'm more and more worried about what I see Christians accepting and dabbling in. You can just say, well, that's just crazy old-time religion. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible's still true. There's wrong kinds of music that opens demonic doors into your heart and into your mind. You ought to be careful what you're listening to. More and more of the movies. What do you expect Hollywood to put out? What do you expect those bunch of heathens to put out? More and more of their content is designed to open demonic doors into the hearts and minds of our young people. By the way, even those animated movies. I don't understand. Look, I understand kids watching. I don't understand the infatuation with adults chasing down and watching all these animated movies. I stopped watching cartoons when I was 6, but whatever. Maybe it's time to grow up a little bit, amen? Amen. I don't know what he did, but at some point he was messing around. Him and some friends sneak up and decide they'd play around with a Ouija board. Come on. Maybe he sneaking around behind his mom and dad's back reading Harry Potter books. Better be careful what you're opening. I wonder if he had some video games. Come on. Don't you tell me there's not demonic influence in these video games that a lot of these young people are playing around with. And what we better do is stop making excuses for what we are bringing into our house. And what we better do is take a look at them and look at them with honest eyes and say, is this something that promotes godliness in our home? Or is this a way for the devil to sneak in the back door and get in the hearts and minds of our children? I don't know where it happened or how it happened, but all I know is by the time he shows up at church, there's an unclean spirit that has control of this man. And you know what? I just want to say this. Thank God he came to the right place. Amen. Say, preacher, surely you wouldn't want somebody to come in church this morning that was demon possessed. Amen. I'll bring him in the door and set him down. You know what, folks? Nothing will stir up demonic activity more than Bible preaching. I mean, you know what happened? That man sat there. I think he sat there in the song service quiet. He sat there during announcements and he sat there quiet. But all of a sudden, a Bible preacher got up there and started preaching. And isn't it interesting? When Jesus started preaching is when he started crying out. Come on, Bible preaching will reveal a lot of things in your life. I mean, do you get mad every time the Bible's preached? I mean, you know, you come in, you cross your arms, you stand there, you stare like I dare you. You leave here upset about stuff every time the Bible's preached. Come on, wouldn't the Holy Spirit of God, if you were controlled by the Spirit of God, be going, amen, amen, amen. Dish it out, preacher. Give us more, preacher. What spirit is controlling your life right now? Boy, as soon as Jesus started preaching, buddy, all of a sudden this guy started raising a ruckus. I tell you this, I've watched Bible preaching stir up a hornet's nest and more preaching. I've gone to youth camps and watched hornet's nests get stirred up. Say, do you mind that? I don't mind it a bit. I like it when things start stirring up because you know what I know? I know the devil's mad and Jesus is glad. And by the way, the one I brought with me is more powerful than the ones they brought with them. I mean, I hope that everybody that's oppressed by the devil would come in the back door of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because we preach a message of hope and we preach a message of deliverance. And they can meet somebody that's greater than that demonic influence that's controlling their life. This is the getting help place. This is the getting saved place. This is the getting your life transformed place. So yeah, bring them on in. Good night. I mean, take a look at the buses, folks. There's a bunch of demons coming off of every one of them every Sunday. No, not the kids. I'm talking about the workers and the bus captains. And probably got a couple demons driving the bus. If those messages on my phone are any indication, I may be some demonic possession in the driver's seat, amen. Guys, stop trying to do willies, okay? That's not even a bad testimony in our... Anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. There was in their synagogue, praise the Lord. Hey, this church isn't a museum where a bunch of perfect people show up so we can sit there, look around and admire each other's perfection. This is a hospital where we come in to get some spiritual help. That's what it's all about. I think people are mixed up about what a church is. I mean, this is the emergency room, folks. This is the hospital, amen. This is AmbuCare on steroids, amen. This is where you go. Listen, if your life is falling apart, it's not time to run away from church. It's time to get in church. If you're struggling in your marriage, it's not time to start hanging out together at the bar. It's time to get into church where you can get some real help, amen. You're battling addictions, drug addictions, or, and I know this is going to go all over the radio, and I hope everybody out there, I hope God allows one person to hear this whose life is, I mean, the devil's got you tied up in knots. And the honest truth is, you're even thinking about maybe taking your life. Come in the back door, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I promise you, there's people that are waiting that will love you. And there's people that will wait and that will help you. And there's a Savior that can change your life and transform your life. That's what it's all about. That's what the church is. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. I like that. Thank God he came to the right place. Thank God he cried out for help. Thank God he cried out to the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I want to introduce you to somebody else that's in the mix here. That's the unclean spirit. Mark chapter 1. Let's look. and verse number 24. And the Bible says, and he cried out saying, now it's interesting, he cried out. I want to point this out. He cried out. You're going to find out who he was. There was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. An unclean spirit. How many believe all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable? It all means something. Let's not run past. A man with an, that means singular, an unclean spirit, not spirits. This isn't the case where there was legions because there was many. Hey, one little demon can mess your life up. Well, preacher, I'm not giving over to the devil. What? You just invite one into your life and see what happens. Okay? An unclean spirit, so singular, but I want you to listen to what he says. The unclean spirit is crying out, and this is what he's saying. Now, yes, he's using the voice of the man, but this is what he's saying. Let, what's the next word? Us alone. I'm going to teach you something right now that'll help you so much. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy what? But notice the next pronoun. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now that's when the demon just spoke for himself, because that boy didn't know yet, but that demon knew who it was. Right. Now I want you to listen to what I have to say here, because it's so important, and I want to teach you one of the biggest tricks that the devil uses on people, okay? He says this. There was only one unclean spirit, but he spoke in the plural sense. You know why? Because he wanted to convince that man that what he believed, that man believed. What he thought, that man thought. He wanted to stand up and represent both himself and the man that he was being possessed by. Now think about that. He did so because he presumed to speak for both himself and the man he possessed. Let us alone. Let us alone. Young people, adults, listen to me. A lot of times I'm listening to people and they're defending something that's unbiblical. What has the devil talked you into believing that you thought of that really he's just whispering to you? Listen, what are you claiming to be yours that never belonged to you until a devil brought it into your life? Listen, stop letting the devil include you when he talks about his wickedness. It's amazing how people begin to personalize sin and use it in a possessive form. Well, I don't go to that church because they preach against my music. Your music? Yeah, my music. Oh, really? So it was your group that, is there anything I can do here or not? Just pray, amen, higher. That's the trouble with tribbles, right there. That's a. Anybody got a reference point? Anybody? A few people. All right. Okay. All right. Nobody raised their hand. Somebody raised. Come on! Don't stand out there. How many knew what I just said? And I talked. Okay. Thank you. All right. Okay. Yeah, man, I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't grow up in the '70s, you missed out on a lot. You really did. Now stay with me here. It's my music. Excuse me. Your music. I went to that Blessed Baptist Church, but they preach against my music. Oh, did you go down to the recording studio and you recorded that music? Huh. Oh, you didn't? Really? By the way, you might want to check out who did. You might want to check out their lives. You might want to check out their motives. You might want to check out who's in control of them. But all these young people talking about my music as if, you know, you. What do you mean yours? You know what the devil's doing? He's speaking. Let us alone. No, the devil's music. That now he's trying to get you to take ownership of with him. Let us alone. It's ours. You know, that preacher just doesn't like my attitude. Your attitude? It's funny you didn't have that attitude before you let the devils get into your life. Come on. Come on. Oh, wait a minute. Who brought that attitude? That's not your attitude. It's that unclean spirit that's either possessing you or oppressing you. Hey, remember when you used to have a good attitude towards mom and a good attitude towards dad? So when did you get this new attitude? And where did it really come from? I'm helping you with something right now. This demon speaks out using the young man's voice, defending, let us alone. What do you mean, let us alone? That young man had partnered with him, and he'd bought into a bunch of stuff that demon had brought into his life, and now he wants to act as if it's his, and it isn't his. It was brought in by that unclean spirit. Well, I don't see eye to eye with the preacher. I just don't believe that stuff. You don't believe that stuff. What stuff? What do you believe? And by the way, where did your belief system come from? I like this one. Well, I just don't have the same convictions as my mom and dad. Oh, really? Where did your mom and dad get their convictions? By the way, where'd yours come from? You better listen to what I'm saying here. The devil's sneaky. He'll bring junk into your life, a bunch of garbage into your life, and help you to fall in love with it and help you to own it. And then you start defending it like it's yours when it was really just a, listen, I mean, you know, he dumped it into your heart like you dump a bunch of trash in a dumpster. And all of a sudden you're defending things that is yours. Okay, my music, my attitude, my beliefs, my dress style, my friends, my opinion, my, come on. It wasn't yours. It didn't always used to be yours. Where'd it come from? Okay? Can you open the King James Holy Bible and show me what you're basing it on? By the way, I can what I believe. So where'd you get this newfound level of wisdom? It's good for us, amen? Let us alone. It's amazing what this devil tried to do. The unclean spirit tried to convince the man that Jesus' intent was destruction instead of deliverance. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Isn't it interesting that when he spoke together, he called him Jesus of Nazareth. When he spoke by himself, he called him the Holy One. He was trying to convince that man that Jesus was just another man from a local city and he wasn't truly what he said he was. The unclean spirit knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, the Holy One of God. We see that here. The unclean spirit speaks out in the singular. The unclean spirit was not able to disobey the Lord Jesus when he spoke to him. I want to get something into your hearts. Young people, listen to me. The world and the devil's philosophies and the devil's influence is everywhere. And pretty soon he comes into your heart and parks in there and dumps his garbage. And you're defending his garbage as if it was yours. Hey, it's time to take out the trash. It's time to take out the trash. All right. Jesus came. He came to deliver. But notice what this devil is. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Watch this. Art thou come to destroy us? You don't want to go to that Blessed Old Baptist Church. They'll mess your life up. I mean, you'll go crazy. There's people who've gone in there and they've gone crazy. I mean, they go crazy on religion over there. No, we don't go crazy on religion. We go crazy on Jesus Christ. Amen. See, what? Come on. What are you scared of? By the way, how is you and your demons doing? How's your life? How's that junk? Tell me how that junk has made you so happy. The minute you start opening demonic doors in your life and you let all that junk into your life and then you start defending it from the pew and you begin to take exception to what's preached from the pulpit and all of a sudden your spirit goes bad and your happiness is gone and your joy is gone. I mean, you're a mess. But you'll sit there and defend that mess. Or you could look over and see that there's a Savior here. A deliverer. And he's stronger than that demon who's lying to you. He wants to cast out that demon, all of his beliefs, all of his philosophy, all of his music, all of his dress styles, all of his everything, and deliver you from captivity and give you a new life and a new outlook, look, and new dress standards and new music and a new view and philosophy, Bible-based philosophy of life. He wants to transform you. I like this. When Jesus speaks out, that unclean spirit was not able to obey Jesus. But I want you to notice this. The unclean spirit did not leave easily. Well, this is good. We need to understand. This is why, young people, you don't want to let the devil in. Bible says in verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit, it's an interesting word there, had T-O-R-N, torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Boy, you ought to study that. That word tore means to take hold of, to grasp, the idea of spasmodic contractions, to mangle, to convulse, to rend, to tear. I think if you'd have watched that, I mean, come on, close your eyes. I think if you watched that man who was possessed by that unclean spirit, had such control of his life, and you see this battle going on. Come on, I see it in church camps all across America. Come on, I've seen it in Blessed Oak Baptist Church where people are wrestling against God. Preacher, I'm going to have to give up so much to be a Christian. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? All the unclean spirits, all the devil's ever done is make you miserable, fill your life with junk. And yet he's convinced you that this is your life and this is, no, it's his junk. It's not your junk, it's his junk. Okay, you're just suffering from it. And all of a sudden Jesus says, do you want delivered? Come out of him. And boy, that thing, can you imagine that wrestling match? Can you imagine that man for the next few minutes as they visibly watched this spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, that demon was hanging on. He didn't want to let go. He'd spent a lot of time capturing this man. He wanted to ruin his life. He wanted to drag him to hell. And all of a sudden you can see this guy and you literally, I mean, folks, this wasn't a physical tearing, but this was a spiritual tearing. And when that demon finally released, he screamed with a loud voice, convulsed. I think he fell to the ground. And I think Jesus reached down and just picked him up. And all of a sudden, he was in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the moment he was there, he looked over and said, why was I fighting so hard not to get this? The peace of God. I want you to hear Brother Ness. I want you to hear Brother Ness's testimony. I appreciate these men that we're bringing in. To a one, every one of them has told me, what you asked me to do is the hardest thing I've ever done from the pulpit. I want you to understand, when these men are coming in and sharing these testimonies, folks, they're having to go back and relive some things they don't want to relive. They're doing it to help us. I'm not going to give his testimony. I want to. I want him to give it, but you don't want to miss this. You don't. Listen, this whole thing, listen, I'm not a creepy preacher, but I'm telling you right now, this whole idea of demonic activity is more real. And it's on the face. Listen, come on now. Read the paper every day. How can people be doing the things I'm talking about? I just, on my phone, I'll just check the Fox News app. And I mean, how can humanity do what they're doing if it wasn't that the devil didn't have a hold of them? Some of the sickest, some of the things I couldn't even talk about. And I mean, the type of stories that maybe 30 years ago you might hear once a year is an everyday news story. I'm telling you, the devil's loose. But Jesus is still the deliverer. We got two to go. Won't take us long. There were those who were in church, number four. And they were all amazed in so much. Verse 27, they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. You know, folks, listen to me. I think those people were glad they came to church that day. You know, you'll miss something, some amazing things if you miss church. You'll miss some amazing things if you miss church. What they saw caused them to question among themselves. I like it when we have a service where somebody gets right or some amazing thing happens or somebody gets saved. And you know what it does? It causes the rest of us to begin to question, have we just got complacent in our lives? Have we got satisfied? And then there were those who were not in church that day, Mark 1:28, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Folks, I believe the things that happened in Blessed Oak Baptist Church and the lives that are changed are having an effect all across our community, and it ought to be that way. I've blown the trumpet. I'm tired of watching the devil sneak in the back door. I know if you're saved that he can't possess you, but he can't oppress you. And I mean this. Some of you need to go home and go through your house. Come on, young people, you need to go through the junk in your room. Listen, some of you need to take a look at that smartphone that's making you a dumb Christian. What's on there? What's the junk that you're allowing to come into your mind and come into your heart? It's time that we stop making excuses for letting the devil in our lives. And you're here today without Jesus Christ, and your life's messed up and upside down, and you've been defending it and defending it and defending it, and the devil's trying to speak up for you as if he represents both you and him. Why are you letting him do that? You know, if you just turn and cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he can deliver you from that. I'm not saying there aren't going to be some battles. I'm not going to say the devil's going to give up easy. I'm just saying greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Nothing better than getting saved. Transformation. Transformation. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help, dear God, through the conviction of your Holy Spirit, that you would use the Word of God in a powerful way in our midst. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God wants to do some sweet things in our life. I also know that there are other spirits here. They faithfully attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They seek to keep backslidden Christians backslidden and carnal Christians carnal. They'll speak up and defend sin as if the individual owns it. They'll try to make us mad during preaching instead of glad during preaching. They work and work and work to do everything they can to get people out of the church house from a Bible preaching church to somewhere where the demons are welcome. If there's one without Jesus Christ as their Savior today, Lord, I pray that you'd bring them to an altar. Bring them up the aisle. Help them to get saved. I pray, Lord, I don't care what the devil's done. I don't care what the devil's got them to do. There's forgiveness. There's a new start. There's a new life. There's a better way. Lord, I pray for that Christian. They've been delivered. The devil cannot take their soul, but he sure can still mess up a life. I pray, Lord, as the preacher was preaching, some of the things that we defend, our attitude, our unthankful spirit, our critical heart, these are not evidences of the working of the Spirit of God. Help us to be tender, Lord, to your working during this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.